You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I can recall having the conversation and joking around about what we were just talking about, being old and just the idea that being able to have a beer after work that doesn't impact how you feel is so awesome. And we were kind of joking, but then it sort of turned into a real thing. By no means do I consider myself sober. It's not this is an exploratory thing for sober lifestyle or anything like that. It's kind of sober curious, but also health conscious. A lot of what makes, a beer, high in calories and things like that is the alcohol, right? So,
hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. I hope that you've had a glorious month of April. That's right, Vox and Hops episodes are now back. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice, but more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. There's someone in your life that just loves listening to in-depth conversations, in-depth interviews with metal musicians. Well, you should definitely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. If you would encourage one of your friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm very stoked to be with Morgan Lander of Kitty and S.A. Jones of We Are Pigs. Get ready, everyone. This is a whole episode about their brand new non-alcoholic beer, Kitty Pig. This is Vox and Hops episode number 453.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm very stoked to be with Morgan Lander of Kitty and Carcass and S.J. Jones of We Are Pigs. We are hanging out for a very special reason, something that's very, very much Vox and Hops. I had a good friend of mine who also did this back in 2020, sent me a screenshot of a banned beer collab and said, Matt, you got to get them on the podcast. You got to talk about this metal beer. And that was when Unearth teamed up with Broken Goblet Brewing, and I had them on the podcast. And we talked about their, I think it was called Black Hearts Shall Reign beer. I think it was a stout. I can't quite remember. But here we are. We're talking about a non-alcoholic beer. I got it right here. The Kitty Pig beer. Shout out to Steph Dells for making me write to Morgan. I've been wanting to have Morgan on the podcast for a long time. I have the opportunity to meet SJ for the first time here. Let's do it. Let's just say, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having us. It's been a long time coming. I know there's been a few opportunities where it's let's do it. But I think this is kind of the perfect time because
it's so fitting.
There's beer chat that can happen. So beer has entered the chat.
I love it. I think it's so cool. I think we should just crack it. But I haven't tried one. You guys sent this to me. I received it here in Montreal, which is something else very cool about non-alcoholic beers, that you can ship it to people. And that's a fucking awesome thing.
Is it cool, though? Is it cold? Is it icy, chilled, and brutal, and ready for sipping?
It is.
It's as cold as, I don't know, some black metal guy standing on a hill looking real sad in his corpse paint.
Every time I open a Kitty Pig, I just hear Morgan scream.
<It's wide>.
I'm like, yes, this is delicious.
Woo. So right off the bat, I crack it. I could smell it right when I cracked the can open. I'm pouring it out. It's a Saskaberry blonde. I was expecting it to be more pink, to be frank.
I know. You know what? That actually should kind of be a thing because, Saskatoon berry, it's kind of like a blueberry. It might dye the mash and everything that they make with it. But what are your thoughts? Let's hear it.
It's very smooth. It's light. It has a very lightly tart, but very, very, very dry finish. And I can crush a few of these with no regrets because it's non-alcoholic.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the key, right? That's the point. I like it. It's like I said, actually, before we started recording, like, it's not like the most manly beer. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, but like, it's light, it's delicious, it's crisp. It doesn't, like, personally for me, I'm more like, I love a wheat beer. I love lighter beers. Something that's a little too hoppy is not really my territory. So this is just like, it's super drinkable.
Totally. And I think, you know, when we were going for this flavor profile, we really wanted to open it up to a larger demographic of drinkers. You know, not everybody loves the taste of super hoppy beers. So it sort of gives us a really nice balance of like seltzer meets beer meets sour. It's a little bit of a mix of all.
Absolutely. I can definitely feel that. But now that you're saying that out loud, I want to dig heavily into the beer, but I'd love to bring you back a classic Vox and Hops question. Is, I'd like to hear about your first beers. Do you remember the first beers that you guys ever drank?
Yeah, I do. the first beer that I ever drank, actually, you know what? I haven't had a long love affair with beer. the very first beer that I ever drank, or that I can recall drinking, was Labatt 50. It's going to be a Canadian thing. The Americans that are listening, SJ may not also know, but like, that was what my dad drank. And so that was what I was stealing out of the...
What was it called?
Yeah. Labatt 50.
Here in Quebec, we call it Le Cinquante.
Yeah. Cinquante. It's like definitely a fucking dad beer. Like, Labatt is, I mean, I would certainly drink it over like something like Budweiser or Molson or whatever.
I drank two of them at a work party bowling last Friday, and I'm not joking.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit robust, but like, you know, when you're 14 years old, that's definitely, you know, like, you just kind of get what you get. But like, if I ever do drink a 50, I'm sort of transported back to my youth.
Do you feel guilty? You feel guilty because you stole it?
My dad was like, probably like, oh, you know, oh, like, I'm pretending like I didn't see that. But and you know, my dad also like brewed his own beer and stuff.
Really?
Too when we were younger.
Oh, wow.
So like, we also, and he also did wine as well. I know this is a beer show, but like, he was definitely making a lot of his own alcohol in like the basement, sort of like beside the laundry room there. And so there was a lot of fuel for high school parties, and the beer was always beer. I think is a really hard one to make on your own. Like, I know there are people that go to like brew places to do it, but he was actually doing it like in the home. And so like, getting the carbonation, I think, was the hardest part. It always ran a little flat. But yeah, those are my very first beer experiences.
I love that. I love that. And it's cool to have a home brewer in the house, and here you are now with your own beer.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice full circle right there.
Absolutely. I think my dad would be really proud of this. He'd probably be like, why didn't you put any alcohol in it?
Totally.
Yeah. But you know, I think we've sort of said this before, you know, it's like, it's nice to sometimes be able to have a beer and like enjoy a delicious drink and like wake up the next day for your fucking job and not be hurting, you know, old people problems.
I was going to say problems that come with age. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because at 21, we can do it all night and then bounce right into the office or into whatever job we had at 21.
Isn't it so crazy?
Minimal repercussions, as opposed to now we feel like just utter garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's only a couple. It only takes a couple now, you know? You hit 40 and something fucking happens. I don't know.
It's all the other beers that just caught up with you. It doesn't matter how many you had the night before.
Totally.
Yeah. How about you, SJ? Do you remember your first beer?
In South Africa, we have this beer called Black Label.
Yeah.
It's Carling Black Label. And it's so badass. And in Zulu, we call it a Zamalek. So we all grow up like having a Zamalek. And so it's a light beer, but it's like, it's definitely got like a little bit of hop to it. It's I guess it's kind of like a Bud Light or something like that occurs, but that was definitely the first rite of passage.
We definitely have Carling up here too. I've crushed a few Black Labels over the years at Fofone Electric, definitely a few of them.
That's so cool to know that you guys have them there when I come visit Canada. I'm going to have to stalk one down.
You got to hunt them out. But there definitely was some, I would say, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was still starting to drink. I definitely enjoyed a few Black Labels and definitely a few St. Counts, but I was more of a Molson guy back in the day. The Molson Export.
Export, really? Yeah. Oh,
I know. Yeah,
That's like a dirty bar beer, kind of like OV. That's like, yeah. You know, yeah.
So here we are now. Why a non-alcoholic beer? Aside from the fact that it's like a low consequence beer, but what is the importance? Is there any of you that there's sobriety involved in this, and it's a big part of your identity now? Where did this all stem from? I know that you guys collaborated on a We Are Pigs track, Moot, and then how did like you doing vocals on a track translate into, you know, making a bunch of 4-packs of these and selling them across the globe?
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like SJ and I connected, you know, very organically to collaborate with the song. And from what I can recall, like I know SJ, I think you have done some collaboration similarly to this before. Is that correct?
Yes. So just before the pandemic, I did an IPA, like an 8% IPA with Alien Ant Farm.
Really? Okay.
And then, and it was badass. But it definitely took you down. Like one beer, you are almost down. Two beers, you are a total asshole. It was one of those. So anyway, carry on, Morgan, talking about.
Yeah, I can recall like kind of like having the conversation and joking around about like what we were just talking about, like kind of, you know, being old and like, you know, just the idea that like, you know, being able to have a beer after work that doesn't like impact how you feel is like so awesome. And we were kind of joking, but then it sort of turned into like a real thing. And SJ had proposed it. And I'm assuming a lot of that idea was kind of from the experience that she had in the past. But I mean, clearly, like the Alien Ant Farm beer that you did was like the complete antithesis of this, you know, an 8% beer that is super strong. And, you know, this is, I guess, the complete other side of that. And like by no means do I consider myself sober. It's not like, you know, this is like an exploratory thing for like sober lifestyle or anything like that. It's kind of like, you know, sober curious, but also health conscious. You know, a lot of what makes, you know, a beer, you know, high in calories and things like that is the alcohol, right? So, you know, I think we both are super health conscious people and, you know, getting older as well, but like still wanting to like, you know, partake.
And this is only 40 calories, which is bad.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
You can crush 10 of these.
And it's basically equals one double IPA.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, like it's just like a neat thing. And like, not only that, but like how many non-alcoholic beers that like are sort of like in the rock and roll vein of things, like how many are out there? You know, I know that there's definitely beers that are alcoholic, and that kind of goes with the whole rock and roll thing. But what about the other people? What about the people that want to wake up feeling good, or people that are sober or sober curious?
Mm-hmm. And I think it is a very on trend thing, being sober curious. There's a lot of more people the older I get that I find I'm at parties or I'm out with people and I'm the only one that is drinking a beer. So you're definitely on trend with people that want to take better care of themselves, are stepping away, trying to have a better relationship with alcohol. So this definitely hits all those marks.
Yeah. And I think being in bands for 25 years, you know, Morgan and I are both entrepreneurs and businesswomen. And so it was like, this is just it's just an extension of what we're very used to doing. You know, being in a band is one of the hardest jobs on earth. So in our minds, it was just like, you know, can't be any more difficult than what we're already doing.
Also, you know, being in bands for 25 years, like drinking the amount that, you know, especially when you're young, you know, sometimes you need a little break.
Oh, God.
Totally agree with that. And you know, it was like, we've had lots of fun and lots of opportunities to continue to have fun. But now you're offering something that looks cool, it feels cool, it tastes good, and you could still feel like you're a part of that party, even if you're making a decision that will make you wake up feeling better the next morning, which is very, very interesting.
And this is our prototype. So this, these first like 4,500 cans are basically going to be, they're going to become a collector's item because this is like the white sleeve label. And then the next run that we're doing is going to be printed on the can.
Nice. So, yeah. Which is a big thing happening. I'm like super in the craft beer industry here. So I know that there's like, in the next year or so, these are going to become illegal to have these because of the recycling side of making these cans. But I'm not going to pick at stuff like that. I am interested about the Alien Ant Farm beer and how you went and brewed that for this one. You did 4,500 units. What was the size of that? What brewery did you collab? The Alien Ant Farm beer. And let's just start with that because I've made a lot of collabs. I'm interested.
So the Ant Farm boys are from Riverside in California. So I just researched a brewery that I thought would be a good fit and literally walked into the door, into the brewery with them and was like, hey, you guys want to brew a beer? And so that was how the conversation started. And Terry, the guitar player, he's a massive IPA drinker. So they really, I think they had a black currant flavor on theirs. It's so my memory from our misspent childhoods, way shot, but, I think it was like a blackberry something. And like a double hop, it was just like, it was brutal. I'm not a big IPA fan, so it was not something that was palatable for me. But we brewed it with Packing House Brewing in Riverside, and they were such great guys. I think we brewed 2 pallets, and if I'm not mistaken, a pallet is 1,950 units, 16-ounce, and they sold out pretty quickly. And actually, we the week of the pandemic was the launch of it. I think it was like the 20th of March, 2020 was going to be our launch, and we were going to have a huge like parking lot party and just like launch the beer, and then the entire world shut down. So I think, and hence, I think, you know, the Dryden and the Alien Ant Farm guys aren't really drinking anymore. And it's probably because they
had to finish the 4,000 cans.
So that could be the reason.
Happy problems. So you took all that knowledge of doing that collab and then bringing it into this one. And this is a much bigger scale project from what I'm seeing, just glancing at the little bit of information that's going on online. There's not much out there about like who brewed this, how you're distributing it across the States, Canada, the globe. I'd love to hear about all that. But before that, let's talk about the actual recipe. How did this beer come to life? You mentioned a little bit before that you wanted something light, something fruity. The Saskatoon berries ties into the prairies for you, Morgan. But where did this idea that you're going to make, like who came up with this recipe and that relationship?
The recipe is from our friends at One for the Road Brewing. Is it Calgary?
Yeah, it's Calgary. Yeah, they're Calgary. So yeah. Keeping it Canadian.
I like that. Yeah. And I don't know them, so that's cool.
And they're amazing. They have a bunch of incredible beers. And when we sat down with Graham, we spoke about the flavor profiles that we wanted. And both Morgan and I, not being big IPA drinkers, it was important that it was light and that it was reachable to a larger demographic, you know, that we weren't just focusing on the IPA drinker, because I think that limits us to a lot of drinkers. And then it was also really important to us that we wanted it to feel like, remind us of our formative music and years, you know? So I think there is something light and memorable about this. It has like something that reminds you of something as a kid, right?
There's almost like a candy-ish smell to it. Almost like cotton candy.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that was important to us, just really giving us that childhood giddiness of why we loved music, why we got into music. And also on top of that, I think Morgan and I both feel, you know, that maybe on the outside we're all dressed in black and, you know, but on the inside we're light and effervescent and bubbly, you know, so it was a good representation of who we are as people too.
Absolutely. This can is all dressed up, you know, black and kind of purple, red or whatever. But inside, yeah, it's just like a fun, light, kind of delicious drink. And yeah, the people at One for the Road, like, you know, when we were, when once we'd sort of discussed the ideas of like flavor profiles, we got samples, you know, they sent samples out to be like, you know, do you like this? How do you like this? And I remember
all non-alcoholic. It was non-alcoholic from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they only brew non-alcoholic beer.
Okay. Hence One for the Road. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So they definitely have that down, and they do have a lot of different, beers that they are brewing. And so, yeah, once we got the flavor profile sort of down that we were interested in, the samples were sent out to us and we got a chance to try everything and say what we liked and what we didn't like. I can remember sitting out in my back patio with like a huge spread of different beers and just trying everything and seeing what worked and what didn't, and finally kind of settling on the Saskatoon Berry Blonde.
Very interesting.
And I think, and it's super cool because we use a process called arrested fermentation. So a lot of beers, they remove the alcohol.
De-alcoholized, yeah.
Yeah. So, which is kind of strangely enough frowned upon in the non-elk industry. So this is kind of cool because you still get a little bit of the body where they brew up until about 0.2, and then it sort of keeps fermenting to between 0.3 and 5. And then we control the rest with temperature.
It's cool. It feels great. I'm enjoying this one so far, so that's a good sign. I'm definitely going to keep enjoying the other ones as the days progress before I go off to Europe with Atheist and Cryptopsy in the next few days. One for the Road basically brewed the whole batch and they are the ones distributing it. And is that correct?
We had designated drinks that are out of London, Ontario. We did our pre orders through them. And now we shipped a bunch into the States, two pallets, which was a massive learning lesson too.
So you annoying. Know, because
FDA and yes. TTB and just like going through customs. So that was just like a holy shit, what are we doing moment. And I don't know what your personalities are like, but I'm just kind of, I work best when I'm kind of caught with my pants down. Like that's, I know it's a terrible saying, but that's sort of where my feet are to the fire. That's when like I really kick into gear. So I enjoyed the challenge and we got everything in, and we just started with this company called Air Goods. They are now providing us wholesale. So they're handling the legal entity for all stores, but we're still currently shipping it out. It's coming from my garage.
Wow.
So, you know, we really are just starting from the beginning.
Truly, truly small business.
I think it's awesome.
It's pretty badass. So it's like I'm writing a hand note from Morgan and I to every single person that purchases our beer. So it's, you know, it's the same as being in a band, but it's a product. It's so cool.
Well, it's a very cool merch item. And because it's non-alcoholic, you can ship it, which is,
yeah.
I've released over 80 collabs and I haven't released a single non-alcoholic one. So kudos to you guys for kicking it off with that. Because beer is a horrible merch item. It's heavy. Yeah, it's, you got to carry it around. It's the venues are annoying about letting you sell beer inside their venue. So it's an annoying merch item. Is that something for the future of Kitty, with Kitty coming back and being busy again coming up? Are you intending to sell this as a merch item?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it would be the perfect opportunity. We are definitely going to be playing some shows. Like we're also working on trying to, you know, maybe get Kitty Pig, at some of the festivals that we're playing as well. I know SJ has been working hard on that. But yeah, absolutely. We would love to sell it as a merchandise item. We'd also love if like, the venue that we're playing at also carries it and sells it, you know, for the evening as well, to get people sort of interested and, you know, trying it out, you know, samples and everything like that. And I think, you know, because it is non-alcoholic, it does make it a lot easier. I know, so, you know, it's weird though, because I know that every state in America has its own weird laws. Like, it's very easy in Canada. Like, you know, it's brewed in Calgary. You can ship it all across the country in Canada. Designated Drinks will ship it to you. There's no problem. Cross province, all of that stuff. But the states, every state has their own weird little thing where it's like, even if it says less than zero, you know, 0.5, like, it's still considered alcohol. Beer.
Yeah. I wonder if kombucha still has that issue, or if that over the years, kombucha probably had to go through those same logistical fights to just get through it all.
Yeah. I wonder about that.
I think the difference is because we're calling this a beer, I think it's the word beer that causes the issue. And because we're using the word beer and we have to have the alcohol content on it, that's what trips everyone up. Where kombucha, they, even though there's probably more alcohol in kombucha than there is in our beer, it's because they aren't marketing it as a beer. So that, you know, it's like, it's a interesting catch 22, because we're like, oh, well, should we call it something different? But no, it's a beer. We want it to be a beer, you know? So, yeah. So we just rolling with it, but it's been cool. Like, I was speaking to, the Kitty is, performing at Havoc Fest in August in
Michigan, Michigan. Yeah.
In Jackson, Michigan. Is that where it is? Michigan. And so we've been speaking to the festival promoters there because, Michigan, for example, is one of those states that consider 0.5 alcoholic. So it has to go through the
liquor board. Yeah.
Regulation system. So, we're navigating each state with grace and patience as we go.
I think it'd be a great addition. And then to have something so metal, something non-alcoholic, a good option for festival goers to enjoy a lot of, I think it's an important addition to many big fests. So I hope that, like, Incarceration Fest picks it up. All these other festivals, these massive US fests, hypothetically bringing it over into Europe would be something amazing too. I think it's very, very cool. What is next? You were mentioning that this is a prototype branding. I think it looks good. What is next? Are you going to bring in other bands? Are you going to bring in other styles? Are you going to create new beers? What is the future of Kitty Pig?
We have a bunch of plans up our sleeves, but we haven't publicly announced anything yet. You will be the first to know when we do. But, you know, the main focus, you know, with anything in CPG, which is consumer packaged goods, it's, you know, it's an expensive business to get into. And, you know, so we really are focusing on Kitty Pig, and this has to blow. You know, that's our focus. I think, as we, perhaps we will start getting different flavors as we start getting a demand. But I think right now, just, at the level and, amount that Morgan has on her plates and I have on my plate, because, you know, we're just running this ourselves. I think one SKU at this point is, pretty much capacity for where we are.
Hey, what's up, Fox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
What about if, like, it does blow up? Do you think that One for the Road can handle the volume for, let's say, a global demand? Or would you be open to collaborating with other breweries in different regions so that the shipping is cheaper and stuff like that? Just this is how my brain works. Like, someone in Australia would brew it. Someone in Europe would brew it. Someone in the States, hypothetically, would brew it.
100%. Yeah, we've already started looking at brewers in the States. It's just way too expensive for us to be importing it. Just the shipping and input, because, you know, 16 ounce beer is like 1.5 pounds.
Exactly. It's a horrible rich item. But
absolutely. Hard to smuggle across the border too, right? Dude,
it's totally illegal, and do not do it, people. And do not send me snow globes. But
it was so crazy because it was stuck at the border for a while. And I was just like, I'm just going to go up in a U-Haul and just go get my
go and rescue the beer.
Totally.
I think that's awesome.
But yes, it absolutely makes sense. We're chatting with our friends at Mash Gang in the UK about doing something there. So it makes sense for us to, even brewing in the States, it makes sense for us to brew a batch on the East Coast and a batch on the West Coast. Just from shipping point of view. So, you know, there's so much to think about, and the startup costs are just crazy. It's just, you know, it's the same as being in a band. It really is the exact same thing. So just a slightly different item.
I think it's super exciting.
Yeah, one thing at a time. But like, we would love to be able to sort of diversify with like different beer options, you know, different flavors. I think that it's definitely in the cards for us. We just, you know, want to get this off the ground first and you know, promote and let people like taste it and just discover how delicious it is, how great it is.
I think the timing that all worked really well. There's the announcement of the beer. There was Eyes Wide Open that dropped at the same, basically a week apart. There was like a lot of kitty news all at once. So in the future, it'd be really cool to have like a beer like lined up with an album or lined up with a single dropping. And then if you have that much demand, then you just like sell all the beer in that first week. It'd be that'd be the future. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think if we plan and time things correctly, I think that absolutely could be the future of what we do with Kitty Pig and, you know, new music in general, you know, releasing a single with its own flavor profile, you know. Yeah, it could be totally cool.
If people want to pick it up, where do they go? If stores want to hold it, is that at that point where we're like craft beer stores can be contacting you? If festivals want your beer, where do they go? Let people know exactly where to get some Kitty Pig.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to kittypig.com, www.kittypig.com, and you can order directly from us. Air Goods also is a great place to purchase wholesale if you have a venue or a bar or a restaurant or, you know, any sort of place that you can sell or want to sell, you know, drinks, and you have the ability to do so. You can order wholesale airgoods.com, and you can search Kitty Pig, and we only have one delicious item. So as of right now, that's the best place to do that.
And we're working on distribution. It's so funny because it's like the alcohol or the CPG world kind of works the same as the music industry. Like, everyone's like, well, we want to see sales and we want to see numbers, and then we'll take you. And you kind of like, it's like exactly the same as the music industry. I'm just like, this is crazy, man.
Well, pick it up, try it, people. And then the more you like it, the more it'll be distributed. And you got to try it, people. You're going to like it.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you guys. It's basically the classic Vox and Hops wrap up question at this point. And now, if we drink a bunch of these, it definitely won't happen. But Kitty Pig was invented sort of because of this question. Every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What are your hangover cures?
Oh, hangover cures. Well, I swear by drinking Mott's Clamato
Yes.
The next day, it's kind of like it's got salt in it. It helps to replenish all that, all those electrolytes that you've lost. But it's also a liquid. It's kind of almost like a soup too. It's like the trifecta of healing when it comes to a hangover cure. So if you can get your hands on some Mott's, I know Mott's Clamato is like a unicorn in the States, but up here in Canada, Caesars are our thing. So you can drink the Caesars by night and then by day when you're feeling a little hurting. Just the Clamato on its own, that'll help.
SJ, what's your hangover cure?
I completely agree. I've spent a lot of time in Alaska and there's some heavy partying going on up here. And you just wake up in the morning and you crack a red beer. So exactly the same. Just Clamato is a godsend. Agree.
Hell yes. I love that. Do it, people. Get some Clamato. Or you could just, not have a hangover if you enjoy a bunch of kitty pigs. So try it out, people. Support it. I'm very stoked. Morgan, SJ, I'm so stoked that we hung out. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk about kitty pig. We can talk about 100,000 things, other things, but today I wanted to talk about the beer. Massive cheers to you guys.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to chat with you and crack a beer, share some kitty pig. And we'll feel great tomorrow.
Hell yes. Cheers.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was awesome to finally connect with Morgan after all these years that I've been wanting to have a chat with her, and even better reason to hang out with her now that she's dropping a beer. Very excited I got the chance to meet SJ. I am hoping that she comes out when I come through LA, and I will invite her via email after this because I just thought about doing that and I'm going to do it. So SJ, if you are listening, expect an email from me inviting you to come out to Cryptopsy's show that's coming up. Get your hands on these beers, people. Very excitingly, Morgan and the Kitty Crew just dropped a bunch of exclusive headlining dates coming up this summer, and I saw on their socials that there will be some Kitty Pig brews available at these shows, so you can taste it there or you can order it. Do it. It's an interesting beer. I think you're going to like it. If you want to be a bit more responsible in your life, Kitty Pig is the beer for you. Stoked for the future of this project. I want to see it do big things. I am impressed already, and I want to keep being impressed. So do it, Morgan and SJ. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You can do that by going to my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that will contain all of the details of everything that has happened recently in the world of Vox and Hops. You will get to see which episodes I dropped. You will get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will also get to hear about anything that is going on in the world of Cryptopsy, such as our upcoming tours, exclusive merch drops, and little hints at secret things that we have coming down the pipeline. You will also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you'll get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. The Brutal Awakenings playlist is jam-packed with all of the freshest, best new metal releases. Trust me, if you are looking for some new music in your life, the Brutal Awakenings playlist will have you covered. It's available on both Apple Music and Spotify, so you should definitely check it out. So please do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back next week with another episode on Tuesday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.